So this morning, four of you are going to take the Lord's Supper for the first time. What does it mean to take the Lord's Supper? What's involved? What does the Lord's Supper really represent? Well, I figured one way to communicate that and talk about that, and it's kind of cool because the little kids are talking about Lord's Supper also serendipitously right now back there, would be for the Apostle Peter to actually come and tell you about the time when Jesus said, this bread is my body given for you, and this cup is my blood poured out for you. And so I'm going to read this passage for us, and then Peter's going to come, and he's going to answer your questions about the Lord's Supper. Okay, so that seemed like a good way for us to learn about this. So we'll just see how it goes, all right? But here's this passage that it fits also along with we're marching towards Good Friday and Easter, right? This is not too long after this passage is when Jesus is arrested and taken and beaten, and he is hung on the cross. But before that happens, Jesus gathers his disciples together, and this is what happens. Then came the day of unleavened bread, on which the Passover lamb had to be sacrificed. So Jesus sent Peter and John, saying, "Go and prepare the Passover for us, that we may eat it." And they said to him, "Where will you have us prepare it?" And he said to them, "Behold, when you enter the city, a man carrying a jar of water will meet you. Follow him into the house that he enters, and tell the master of the house, 'The teacher says to you, where is the guest room where I might eat the Passover with my disciples?' And he will show you a large upper room furnished. Prepare it there." And they went and found it just as he had told them, and they prepared the Passover. When the hour came, he reclined at table, and the apostles with him. And he said to them, "I have earnestly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I tell you, I will not eat it until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God." And he took a cup, and when he had given thanks, said, "Take this and divide it among yourselves. For I tell you that from now on, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes." And he took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to them, saying, "This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And likewise the cup, after they had eaten, saying, "This cup that is poured out for you is the new covenant in my blood." Stop there. So I'm Peter the fisherman. I'm glad to be with you. I understand you got a few questions about Lord's Supper. Well, you know what? I was there. I was there that night when he did this. And so, you know, I'm happy to help you to understand and connect to that. So, you know, what kind of questions do you have about that night? Oh, good question. Okay. Yeah. Well, you know, we've been following Jesus for 3+ years, right? He had chosen us and called us to follow him, and we knew he was a rabbi, a teacher, but so much more, because he was doing so much more than any other rabbi could do. And so we gathered together. We said, "Well, are we going to celebrate the Passover together?" And he said, "Yes, absolutely." And so he told us to go find this upper room to do it. And so you remember what Passover is, right? It's a celebration every year of how God saved his people out of Egypt. Remember the story? Pharaoh and slavery, plagues, the Red Sea. It's something that every Jewish family or extended group was supposed to do to remember God's saving act among them. And so we went and we prepared the room. But you know what? You know, we weren't sitting in chairs, right? It wasn't like that Da Vinci guy painted, right? We were kicking back. We were reclining and laying out on all these pillows. I understand you got somebody named Martha Stewart that's really into pillows and guest rooms. She didn't have anything on us, man. We had these awesome pillows. We were just chilling. It was so cool. So we were eating the Passover together, and it was like we were a tight community. Because when you eat the Passover, usually you eat it as if with your family or with some extended family. But in a sense, Jesus was saying, we are this new community, this new people of God. We are like a new family of God. And so it was a really cool setting to be eating the Passover with Jesus. So good question. What other questions do you have? Oh, yeah. No, great question, because he had gathered us together, but he said, and he starts the Passover meal, and then there's these four cups and all the different parts of the meal. But at a certain point, he says to us, I have eagerly desired to eat this Passover with you. Man, that really blew us away, because we were longing to be with him, and he had called us, and we were following him and all these different things, and he took care of us, and he led us, and he taught us. But we could really feel his heart that night. He was saying, I have so eagerly desired to come and eat this with you. We really sensed his love and his affection and his care for us. That really blew us away. We really saw his heart as he was saying that. But he also said, before I suffer, I eagerly desire to eat this meal with you before I suffer. And he had talked about suffering, that he was going to suffer before. He talked about it a couple times, but it seemed kind of far off, and we were confused. But all of a sudden, it seemed like, no, it's going to happen soon. And so that was really odd, because when I'm about to suffer, I think about myself. But he was about to suffer, and he was thinking about us. He wanted to be with us. He wanted to make sure we had this last time together. And again, it just showed us his heart of how he was taking care of us. And, you know, we disciples, we had done a lot of dumb things over the years. And we were about to do something really dumb right after this. We were about to argue about who is the greatest. But that evening, when I saw Jesus' heart for me and for all of us, that evening made a huge difference in how I lived the next several years. After I had denied him and Jesus forgave me and restored me, after he called me to preach to all these people, me, this uneducated sort of fisherman, this ordinary guy, that evening I remember going back and remembered his heart shared with me. That helped me to follow him for the rest of my life. Good. What other questions might you guys have? No, so he said this really good question. Thank you. And so he said this really weird thing. He says, I'm not going to eat this cup, or I'm not going to drink this cup or eat this bread again until it's fulfilled in the kingdom of God. He said it twice. He said, I'm not going to eat it until the kingdom of God is fulfilled. I'm not going to drink it until the kingdom of God comes. And so that we thought that was really strange, but we realized what he was doing. We had this special meal together, but in one sense, he was reaching back and grabbing hold of the Passover and saying that this meal we're having is connected back to the Passover. So it's like it's the same story. It's just fulfilled more and more. But then he was also reaching forward and saying, there's going to come a time when the kingdom of God is fulfilled, when evil and sin are completely gone, and we're going to have a huge party then, and I'm waiting for you. I'm not going to start eating at that party. I'm waiting until you come and join me there. So it's almost like there was three meals. There was the Old Testament Passover, the beginning of God's salvation work. And then there was this meal he was instituting for us, which was filling that salvation out more and more. And then there was the future meal of everything set right. It's almost like he had a balloon. There was no rubber then. Well, maybe there was rubber. I don't know. But so the balloon was blown up somewhat under Passover. But then Jesus took that balloon this night. And he filled it 10, 20 times bigger, but it didn't burst. And he filled the Passover full of meaning. And then on that final day, he's going to blow that balloon even bigger and bigger so that it consumes all of creation, all of heaven and earth, to bring his salvation to bear for it. And so it's amazing that he said, I'm not going to eat it again until you join me, until we eat it together when everything is finally set. And so, all right, good question. Any other questions you guys have? You're right. You're right. The most important thing. So he said. So in the passage that is recorded for us, in verse 19, he says. So he says, and he took the bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to them, saying, "This is my body, which is given for you." And so again, we sort of just see these same themes here that in the Passover there's bread, but it's not broken. It doesn't represent being given for your salvation. But here Jesus is filling that out. He's saying, "This bread is my body, which is given for you." So again, he just reaffirmed he was giving us so much that evening. And then the cup again. This cup is for you, and he said, "This is the new covenant." Covenant's a very relational word. It means God. It shows us His fidelity to us. It shows us His love for us. It shows us His affection and care and desire for us. And so the constancy of His love. And so that bread and the cup really filled out that salvation event of Passover, but it also was leading forward to how he was going to bring his salvation to the ends of the earth in the future. Good. Any other questions?
What do you do when you take the Lord's Supper?
All right. So here's some suggestions of what did you do, Peter, when you took the elements? So first I remembered, I'm part of his new family. I'm part of this new community family that Jesus has initiated. He's called me into it, and he said, "I belong." And then I remember him, and I remember his heart desire of him saying, "I eagerly desire to be with you." Because, you know, when you take the Lord's Supper also, he is present. In a sense, just spiritually, just as much as he was present with me, and he's saying the same thing, "I'm eagerly desiring to be with you right now. I'm so glad that I could be in your presence right now, and that you could remember me, and I can show you my constancy of my love, the fidelity of my affection for you." Because it happened in the midst of this Passover, you should also remember that the Lord's Supper is a fulfillment of Passover, but it's connected to Passover. It's not something brand new. It's the same story, just invigorated with more power and love and salvation in the midst of it. And then realize also that it's a journey towards that final banquet that we have, that you'll have with Jesus in heaven one day. So remember that it's one big story, you're in the middle of it. And the bread and the cup really is meant to be food and sustenance of grace for you as you journey towards that final day when we eat with him again face to face. And so what should you do? Again, you should confess your sins. Because just like right after this, we were going to argue about who was the greatest. Right? Thinking we all thought we were so great. Right after this, I was going to deny him. I was cowardly. I didn't stand up for him. But the Lord's Supper is a time to realize how you've not been faithful in that relationship and to confess that. And to realize that there is an abundance, more than sufficient sacrifice in Christ, remembered in the bread and the cup, to forgive all of your sins. And so I hope that as you all partake of the bread and the cup this morning, and the four of you for the first time, that you experience Jesus meeting you, that you realize his heart desire, that he eagerly desires to be with you, that you remember that it's not something brand new just here, but it connects with what God's done in the past, and it connects to what God's going to do in the future. And that Jesus, in the bread and the cup, it's grace, it's nourishment, it's food for the journey as Jesus walks with you along the path that he has for you. So thank you. I'm glad I could be here. Let me pray for all of you, for this church and this group of his people. Father, would you dwell with us richly as in a few moments we partake of the Lord's Supper together? Would you help us to realize that we're a new community in Jesus because he's called us to himself intentionally, purposefully? Would you help us to remember Jesus' great affection for us, that Jesus, the word for Jesus' relationship with us is not, it's not learning or labor or logic, but it's love, that Jesus is filled with great, great love for us. And would you help us to feed upon him by faith? Would you help us to have the courage and the confidence in him to confess our sins? Would you help us to have the humility to receive his strength, that we might walk with him well in the journey that he has for us, even as we're journeying to that time when he sets everything right? And we ask all this in Jesus' name.